So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive after these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Today happens not only to be the second Sunday before Lent, so I hope you're on your starting blocks with the Lenten season on the horizon, but also Racial Justice Sunday in the Church of England. And at the same time, there's a big focus in the readings and the collect we've just prayed on creation. We prayed the collect in the words, "Give us reverence for all creation and respect for every person." And actually, that just about sums up what I think I need to say this morning about reverence for all creation and respect for every person. It's an opportunity to focus on fostering the unity and the common identity of all human beings, and the call in the Christian life to treat others as being made in the image and likeness of God. So we know, it's not rocket science, that we are very different from each other in so many ways. We're shaped by our experiences and by our background, our ethnicities. But we are equal in dignity as children of God. And in the church, there should be a firm focus on the well-being of our neighbour, no matter the colour of their skin or religion or gender. God has the final say on how much we are worth. God has the final say on how much we are worth. But the message from passages like the gospel passage I've just read to you is that we are all infinitely precious and valuable in God's sight. And what we should be striving to do is to make that a reality. And in fact, that is what we mean when we talk about bringing in the kingdom of God. Godly values, treating everybody with equal dignity and worth.
But the kingdom of God is not a place where anything goes, but it is a place of diversity where others should not be othered, where all belong and all have a place, where all are invited into a journey of faith, and all are invited to become more and more Christ-like on that journey, and where those on the margins have an honoured place at the feast. Now, of course, all these words trip off my tongue all too easily. They're easy to write and to speak and to say. But we have to make this more of a reality in the life of the church. Our lives ought to be different because of what we believe. Likewise, our attitudes should be different because of what we believe. So it isn't good enough to think of ourselves, for example, as being kind when we say and do things which are the opposite, when we say things about people, even in jest actually, when we don't know their story or, for example, the trauma that it might have faced in life. Sad to say that churches aren't always places where you will always find kindness. Sometimes that kindness is lacking in the church, as it is elsewhere, but we are called to be different. It's very often lacking in us because we aren't happy with who we are. We don't care enough about other people, or we've made hasty judgments about other people out of our ignorance. Or worse, our arrogant assumptions that we know what is best for everyone else and for us too. All this comes out of our self-centered world where we think we are the ones that matter. Now, the disciple of Christ comes to a situation or a person with an open mind and an open heart. Blaming other people comes from a closed mind and a withered heart. Blaming other people helps us to feel better about ourselves. But our Christian responsibility is to avoid that as far as we can and to root it out. And to live alongside each other in mutual respect. And to make sure that every interaction or exchange we have with somebody, especially somebody who is different to us in some way, is prefaced with, "This person is made in the image and likeness of God." Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. And it is so hard. And I fail at it all the time, even as a public representative of the church. But nevertheless, it's what we should be striving and aiming for. It isn't the case that we'll always get it right, but that doesn't absolve us from trying. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is reminding us not to lose heart, never to stop trying and believing that there's something better than simply what we see with our eyes. The message is that we're made by God, for God, and we're on a journey back to the Father's house. Meantime, we groan inwardly, and indeed outwardly some of the time. We groan. And it's a condition that's common to all the bits and parts of creation. It's part of the human condition. But nevertheless, the message is that in spite of all that, we should not give up hope. But hoping makes us vulnerable. But Paul tells us we should be patient in our vulnerability, patient for the fulfillment of the righteousness of God. Putting right all the things that feel out of place, we might say. Now we have, Paul tells us, the first fruits of the Spirit. We know in our hearts how things should be. We know that people different to us should be treated with dignity and respect. We've got what we need. We've got what we need from the Bible, from the church. We know enough, and we have enough to go God's way on this, but we're so often stubborn that we prefer our own way, and then we wonder why the world is the way that it is. The gospel reading gives us some important clues to how we might get over ourselves. We're told in St. Matthew's Gospel that we must stop worrying about stuff beyond our control and focus on what we can control and strive first for that kingdom of God, that place where God's values and priorities are paramount, beginning to make them a reality now in this life that we lead. Recognizing our value before God and recognizing the value of each and every human person. And I become more and more convinced as time passes, actually, that the root cause of so many of our problems, both inside and outside the church, is the misuse and the misunderstanding of power. And certainly this has been true in the church, where certain styles of leadership are imposed on people and called God's will. And if you don't follow my way, then you must be against God. You must be against God's will. Styles that can lead to all kinds of bullying and abuse. And we've seen this in the history of the church, and sadly in the recent history of the church. And we see it still. Sometimes, I'm ashamed to say, it's even disguised as kindness. If we look to the wider world outside the church, still the root of so many issues is the sin of certainty, the abuse of power, my way or the highway. Vicars can do it. So do presidents and prime ministers and political leaders or wannabes. We've got to be so careful with power in the church. We've got to be so careful when we hear leaders of any kind parading easy answers to complicated questions as if our problems were that simple and can be solved by flags and slogans. The message of the gospel is that we matter at least as much as the lilies and the sparrows, that God cares about us and that each of us are made in his image and likeness. We have covered and obscured that glorious truth by the misuse of power. And we can all be prone to it, white over black, rich over poor, whatever it happens to be. And it's our task in the church to recover that value of each and every person so deeply important to God, each and every person made by him in his image and likeness, and to mean it by what we do, not just what we say. So please, this morning, as we think on these things, weigh these words carefully. If there's no room for racism on the football pitch, there's certainly no room for racism in our churches. And if we think that our churches are racist-free places, then we are very sadly mistaken. Now, the risk of a racial justice Sunday, like any other Sunday with a name over it, is that we can subconsciously tick it off. Oh, well, we did that one a few weeks ago. Let's move on to the next one. We have got to get over that sense, because it's a daily challenge to us to make sure that we treat people of every race fairly, as we ourselves would expect to be treated, and that we stop thinking that there are easy solutions to these things. Amen.